Okay, we began a study in the book of Revelation in our church in Shetty Camp on our Wednesday night Bible study. It's a discussional study, and so there will be interaction back and forth. Unfortunately, the first study was not recorded, and that leaves me with giving you, I guess, an overview or doing that study here, even though it wasn't recorded. So the next one was recorded, and I'm going to place the two of them up on our church website, and then the subsequent ones I'll try to make sure that they were recorded. So when we look at the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, we see that it starts with these words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So when we look at this right off the bat, we discover something that's very important here. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It isn't John's revelation, it's Jesus's. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the revelation comes from him, but it's also the revelation about him. The center of revelation is not end times prophecy. It's revealing Jesus Christ. Truths about who he is. Truths about his victories. Yes, it deals with future events, but it deals with a person. You see, the whole of Scripture is about a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is the center of all of the Word of God. When Jesus had risen from the dead and he was walking with his disciples, though they didn't know who he was, on the road to Emmaus, it tells us that he began to expound the Scriptures of the Old Testament, showing them that Christ must come and suffer and die. Another passage of Scripture in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, Jesus challenges the Pharisees of his day and said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." It's all about the Lord Jesus, friends. Sometimes people get involved with the book of Revelation from the viewpoint of it's all about, you know, who's going to be the Antichrist, when are things going to happen, what's the next step in this plan, and they're busy maybe doing an analytical or trying to figure out the prophetic in terms of future events more than anything else. But let me encourage you, as we do this study in Revelation, what we want to do is focus on Jesus Christ. We want to see him in his glory. We want to see his plans, his way, God's way of looking at the world and at future events and seeing the culmination of it all. So while it is true that it is prophetic because it speaks of things which must shortly take place, that word shortly may be a little hard to understand because we've been a long time here, and sometimes people have taken that to mean that all of this happened very shortly after the death and resurrection of Jesus. But I think I'd be a little hard-pressed to take that viewpoint. However, we do know that God wants us to read this book. He wants us to understand what's in it, and he wants us to pay attention to what's there. We may not understand all of it. When we consider Revelation, it is full of literature that sometimes is a little hard to understand. There are pictures in Revelation that, for example, at one point it speaks of a great dragon reaching up with his tail and pulling a third of the stars of heaven down. Well, I don't think anybody literally believes that there's going to be this huge dragon on the earth that will reach up and rip the stars out of the sky, out of the universe. So the great care has to be taken as we read this book to understand that it's apocalyptic literature, which means that it is symbolic and that there are symbolic situations here that need to be carefully looked at. And because that is true, we need to have great care in that people are not being so dogmatic that they have it all figured out exactly how things are going to happen. You see, at the time when Jesus came, the Jews had it all figured out. They figured that the Messiah, when he shows up, he's going to show up, he's going to defeat all the Gentiles, he's going to give Israel their kingdom reign, and he's going to sit on a throne, and he's going to judge the world. And here comes Jesus, and what is he? A suffering servant. They weren't too pleased with that, because they had their mind made up. So great care needs to be taken that we don't have our mind made up about future events. Now there are principles and there are definite things that are repeated over and over again throughout the Bible to give us a very clear picture that Christ will come again, that he will judge, that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there's a need for us to be ready to put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so those things are, they're not up for negotiation in that respect because they're plainly given in the Word of God. But when it comes to some of the statements in the book of Revelation, to try and take them and build a whole doctrine apart from the rest of Scripture is a very dangerous thing to do. One of the principles that helps us to understand things is to let Scripture interpret Scripture. And if Revelation has apocalyptic literature, there are other books that do not. And they have doctrine about end times and about circumstances and about the end of the world and Jesus Christ that are not apocalyptic. So I take those as the foundational teachings, and then we look at the symbolic literature in Revelation and see them fit in to that. So we're not going to build a doctrine on just a verse out of the book of Revelation. All of it is true, friends. All of it is from the Spirit of God, but there needs to be a wisdom and a discernment to understand it. So when he says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, now God gave John, this witness, this testimony, and we find that in Revelation 1:4. He says, John to the seven churches in Asia. So John was one of the apostles. He's the author of Revelation, not the author, but the writer. The author is the Holy Spirit. And John, being that apostle who walked with Jesus Christ, who was close to Jesus, the scriptures make that clear in the Gospel of John, wrote the Gospel of John, wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, which was a prison island, for his faith in Christ. The records seem to make it very clear that this epistle would have been written around 90 AD, where John would have been an old man. And in this time of his exile, the Spirit of God came to him, and he had an appearance of Jesus Christ, and John wrote down what was given to him. So in verse 1, he says this, he sent and signified by his angel to his servant John. The word angel, by the way, can mean messenger, which means there are times even in the Old Testament where an angel of the Lord appeared, and it turns out that it was the Lord himself, the messenger of the Lord. And so John received a revelation of Jesus Christ, and he is sharing it with the world. And he says in Revelation 1:2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So John is bearing witness. He is testifying to the word of God, that this is confirmed in the word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he's bearing witness to all the things that he saw. So John is saying, I was a receiver of this testimony. I was a receiver of this witness, and I am bearing witness to it. Everything that I saw, I'm giving to you. Now, in Revelation 1:3, he says this, and this is where the blessing comes. He says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, at first glance, one could read this and say, well, you get a blessing from reading the book of Revelation. But notice what it actually says here. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Now, does that mean if it's read out loud, they're hearing it? No. You know, Jesus said these words. He actually said it a little later in Revelation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But he also mentioned that in the Gospels as well. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So it isn't enough just to read it, but it's to be responsive to it, to actually hear what God is saying. Because sometimes things are hidden from us. Sometimes we don't understand what we're reading. As a matter of fact, remember when Jesus told the parable of the seed and the sower, the disciples didn't quite grasp it. And Jesus challenged them and said, you know, it's true that hearing people don't hear, seeing they don't see. But he wants us to have ears to hear, and he wants us to really listen to what he has to say. So yes, Revelation is a difficult book. But if you're looking for the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you're looking for the overall picture, I believe that it will become very clear. Clear that Jesus Christ will return. Clear that he has all authority given to him. Clear that he is the one to be worshipped and honored and obeyed. Clear that we're going to have to give an account to him. Clear that he has not only a great, deep, passionate love for souls, but that he has a wrath and anger for sin and sinners, and that he will judge this world. Clear that he wins at the end of the day. These are some of the things, the blessings that we can experience as we read this book. But notice it not only says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, he says, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. God just doesn't want us to be hearers and not doers. He says, and keep those things which are written in it. That is, that we allow the truth of God's word to change us, that we allow it to minister to our souls. The Lord is not just interested in you filling your head with knowledge of the Bible, but his interest is that we are affected and changed and transformed as a result of it. Keeping the Word of God is bringing it into our lives so that we are transformed by its authority and power. So what can I say? What can I do? I can encourage you to absolutely surrender your heart, your will to the way of God. To take up this book with a reverence that says, Lord, show me Jesus. Reveal to me more about who he is. And reveal to me these things that I might be transformed by your power and by the Spirit of God. Indeed, the Word of God teaches us in 2 Corinthians, as we consider this walk with God in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he speaks to us there of the privilege we have to be in the presence of God. Now, he says that God takes away the veil so that we can understand who Jesus is, so we can see who Jesus is. And so in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror or a glass, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So though, as we gaze on Jesus, as we are, Jesus Christ is being revealed to us, which is what the purpose of Revelation is, as he is being revealed to us, we become more like him. we become transformed, we become changed. God's plan is always that we become more like Jesus Christ. So can I encourage you with all my heart that you consider becoming more like Jesus Christ to be the very center of your experience and existence. The purpose why you would read this book, that Lord, I would become more like you, that I would have a heavenly understanding of things, that I would have a view of the world and all that is in it from a spiritual viewpoint, and that I would see the lordship, the wonder, the glory, the authority, the power of Jesus Christ. Don't miss this, friends, or you will get into so much entanglement. When you read the book of Revelation, there are different interpretations. There are schools of thought concerning end times. And we're going to touch on some of those. And there's people who are so adamant that their way is the right way, period, and that's the end of it. And I can't say that. Well, I don't have the right to say that. But I do know that the Word of God and every word of it is true, and that care needs to be taken as we listen to this book and read it and examine it, and that our hearts would be opened. But let's start from that place where it is our hunger and passion and desire that Jesus Christ be revealed, where we are seeing whatever end time events and how they transpire around the person and the victory of Jesus Christ. Knowing that he wins. Knowing that we can have this confidence, as Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, for you know that your redemption is near. That our hope is in looking to the Lord, not being overwhelmed by the circumstances and the situations and the possibilities of what might happen. Now, I want to give a little word of caution here. There are a lot of people around who are claiming to be prophets, and they are making great swelling words and coming up with all kinds of fanciful stuff. Let me encourage you. Go to the Word of God rather than these so-called prophets. In light of that, I want to close with this thought about prophecy. We are often think of prophecy as foretelling a future event, period. But the real meaning of prophecy is this: to speak the will of God on a certain matter. It may be a future event, or it may be something that is relevant in a very present situation. For example, if someone is speaking, maybe preaching, or if they're speaking to you, and they seem to be able to divinely know exactly what's going on in your life without having been pre-educated to it, that it can be a prophetic word in that kind of context, that situation, where they are speaking to the particular situation that, and God is revealing his will and his way in it. So it can include future events, but it is not necessarily future events alone. So there is much prophetic word in this passage as we go through. The first part in the first three chapters is not speaking so much about future events, but present situations, and God is speaking his mind on the matter as to the conditions in these churches. Other parts are futuristic. But all of this prophetic revealing is so that we might know Jesus better. Have that aim as we go through this book together. Looking forward to you partaking in the next study and then every subsequent one after that. God bless you, and may you read, may you hear, and may you keep the Word of God. Amen.